This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We have some breaking news for you right now. President Trump has agreed tonight not to terminate NAFTA at this time. After speaking with the president of Mexico and the prime minister of Canada, let's discuss now. Fareed Zakaria is here. He's the host of CNN's Fareed Zakaria GPS. So Fareed, just getting this bulletin, and it's out from CNN. Again, the highlight here, the headline is that Trump agrees not to terminate NAFTA at this time. He spoke with the Mexican president. He spoke with the prime minister of Canada. The statement said the leaders agreed to proceed swiftly according to their required internal procedures to enable the renegotiation of NAFTA deal to benefit all three countries. But just earlier today, we had guidance that he was going to sign some sort of agreement to get out of NAFTA on the 100-day mark of his presidency. So what is going on here?
But that was then. This is now. This is Donald Trump. Look, this is in some ways as head-spinning as so many of the reversals that Trump has undertaken. He was going to name China a currency manipulator. On day one, he said,
didn't do it.
He talked about how he was going to get much tougher on trade with the Europeans. Didn't do it. He talked about how NATO was obsolete and he essentially seemed to be threatening to pull out of NATO. He didn't do it. Obamacare was going to be really repealed. That hasn't happened. There's a whole series of these. There's no money for the wall. The NAFTA piece is actually stunning because this was a centerpiece of his, not just the campaign, but his worldview. Donald Trump's worldview is that America has been losing, and most importantly, has been losing a trade. And NAFTA, if you recall, almost every campaign stop, he said NAFTA was the worst deal ever made. Mm-hmm. So what Donald Trump has now said, not 100 days into his presidency, that after having concluded for 10 years that this was the worst deal America ever made, he's going to keep.
Yeah, but, you know, again, this is what the left does. They just tie themselves up in knots. I mean, don't you want a president who comes in the office and realizes, I mean, it's one thing to talk about it in the campaign trail because what he knows is a bit limited. Let's agree to that. Okay. But what he is echoing and what he is putting out there is what most of us are feeling. Like, what is this deal, this NAFTA deal? It doesn't seem like a good deal for America. NATO, what about them paying their fair share? And what did he do to NATO? He just said, hey, guys, you need to pay up. You know, Tillerson goes and meets with them and says, you guys agreed to pay 2% and you haven't been paying it. We've been paying the carrying the load here, and it's not fair to America. And they say, well, you didn't ask. You didn't ask for the money. Yeah, okay, we'll pitch in. And not that it's all there yet, but they're on notice, and they agree there was no big fuss. And, the media didn't make any big deal about it, but I think it's huge. They got him to adjust. So what's the problem? The president adjusts with that. And so here it is with Mexico, he's saying, and with Canada, he's going, look, this is a bad deal. And guess what? Canada and Mexico heard it. They're hearing him and they're calling him. We're NATO, Nieto, I should say. If you get the media's report on it, it's like, well, he doesn't want anything to do with Trump. Well, he certainly does. And there's things to work out. And let's work out a deal here, right?
Yeah, and I guess for me, I'd like to hear him kind of explain why he's shifting his opinions on this. At least with NATO, I understood that because he said, hey, you start paying your share. And right. They were like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. Okay, well, right there it is. So, okay, well, now this is a better deal for us.
Right. So, well, and like anything in a deal, Scott, it takes, sometimes you got to go through a process. I mean, he put Canada and Mexico on notice. They're engaging the president now. And it's not like he took it off the table. He's just basically saying, look, if we can't negotiate a better deal, it's still off. But right now, it's still in play. until so they're on notice and they're going to do what they can to see if they can come up with a better deal for we the people. Why not? I like that.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, coming at you in over 280 markets across this wonderful country of ours, around the world via shortwave as well. We're all over the place. And great to have you along with us for the ride as we pursue the truth no matter where it leads, because it is that critical to your future, to your lives, to your families. New York Times bestselling author of The Emmaus Code is with us right now, David Limbaugh. His latest book, The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. David Limbaugh, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Great, and thanks for having me. Always good to be on.
Hey, The True Jesus, why the book?
I wanted to originally write a primer, a New Testament survey, the whole New Testament, and I started writing it. Realized it was a little too ambitious for one book. You can cover a lot of things superficially, and there are a lot of New Testament surveys that seminaries have and all that, and they're great for their purpose. But I wanted to delve more deeply into the Gospels, and so as I started studying and immersing myself in the Gospels, I said, I've got to narrow the focus of this book just to the Gospels to do what I want to do with the book, which is to really get into the Gospels and the whole New Testament. There just wasn't room. So I called Regnery, my publisher, and they jumped at it. They didn't even question it. They said, good, we'll just do a follow-up on the rest of the New Testament if we can. So that's why. That's why it's developed into the book that it is. But it's kind of interesting that I switch horses in the middle of the stream. And so it's funny, when you start doing something, I have the flexibility, luckily, because I have a good publisher, of being able to change it when the situation calls for it.
Well, I think your publisher understands inspiration and God's leading. And so, but there's some publishers that would have said, say what? And it ain't going to happen. That's not what we bought.
I know. Totally true.
Well, certainly there was some inspiration here to direct you accordingly, David. And I'm sure, just like you did in your previous books, as you begin to write and in writing, you peel back the onion skin layer by layer and revelation sets in. What was the initial big wow for you, other than that you had to focus on the Gospels?
Yeah, it's going to sound silly, and I've said this in certain other interviews. I wonder if this sounds silly, but here it is. It's just the truth, whether it's silly or not. I've read the Bible quite a few times, read the Gospels, read the New Testament, both completely beginning to end and in parts. But I always before preferred reading the epistles to the Gospels, because I like theology, and Paul kind of goes into theology, and the other epistle writers go into it, tell you what it all means, and it's just kind of really fascinating intellectually to me. Mm-hmm. And the Gospels are more a history of, a specific part of history about Christ's life, mainly his life, and part of his ministry, not his whole life, just his ministry, and for 3 years mostly. And I started reading the Gospels, and really having to focus more than I ever had, because as you know, it kind of your mind has to focus when you're researching and writing.
Right.
And so I started doing that and realized how much deeper and richer an experience it was than it had ever been before. I was trying to harmonize the four Gospels, not harmonize them in the sense of getting rid of all the inconsistencies, but because I wanted to condense them so I would have space to go on to write about the rest of the New Testament books. How am I going to do this? There's four separate books. They're related, but they're overlapping, but they all contain different information. The first three, the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are more similar to each other than they are to the book of John, which is more theological. Still, how am I going to harmonize them and make it meaningful? Well, I could have, but then I would have ended up being spread out too wide and not really accomplished anything inspirational. It would just be like a textbook that has a bunch of useful facts. So I said, I'm going to put all the events. I'm going to do a consolidated account. I don't want to call it a harmony, because a harmony implies that you're trying to shred away all differences and all that, make it all in a nice, neat package, which it doesn't lend itself to. And it doesn't lend itself to a complete chronological sequence. But you can put it in largely chronological order, because you can't be sure when some of these events occurred, because some of the gospel writers were writing more in terms of the substance they were writing and the themes, rather than being strictly chronological. But experts have come together, and there's a pretty good idea of what the chronological order is for most things. So I kind of simulated that. I probably have 250 separate substantive events that occurred in the Gospels from a bunch of different resources. So I go through every one of those, and I lay out what happened. I sometimes condense the words of the events, like to summarize, instead of saying in two paragraphs where they went, I might reduce it to a sentence. Because my purpose here isn't to rewrite the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Mine is a book about the Bible. But it's also to stay true to the text. So when it comes to the actual speeches of Jesus and his discourses, I include most of those verbatim. So in addition to having a run through of everything that occurred in the Gospels, I mean literally almost every event and every speech, I have a running commentary to help the reader understand what they've just read. And I rely on mainstream. I'm not one of these people that get on these far-fetched ideas theologically. Pretty mainstream Christian interpretation, my own interpretation and the people I trust. And so I include commentary all the way through, and that's the bulk of the book, chapters 5 through 12. The first four chapters are introductory about the Gospels, the kind of things I would have done if I'd written the whole New Testament. And I include an intertestamental history, what happened between the writing of the Old Testament and the New Testament, all that kind of stuff. The bulk of the book is the second part where I really delve into the Gospels, and I want to emphasize this to you, as I do in the book. My main purpose in this whole exercise is to inspire people to read the Gospels for themselves, because only if you read the Gospels themselves will you encounter the living Son of God. You're not going to encounter him in my book, no matter how closely I approximate the Scripture with an effort to do that. You're only going to encounter him if you read the Word of God. So my goal is to excite people about the Gospels like I'm excited about the Gospel, have some of my enthusiasm spread into the reader, so that they're, and then also help teach them like a Sunday school teacher would, certain things, so now that if they were intimidated by the Gospels before, they may be less so and say, hey, I got a kind of an overview. I know what these are about. I know a little bit about what the interpretation is. Now I'm excited. I'm going to delve into the real thing. That's my goal. I don't know if I will be successful, but just to let you know, that's my goal.
Well, David, the Word of God is living, and you understand that because you've been a student of it. You're a theologian in much the same way that I am. And my excitement was when I realized that it was a living document. It was more than words. This is why you can read the gospel and you say, I've read this hundreds of times. And I have a new meaning for it as it applies today for me at this moment. And those moments, yes. Right.
And it's as if... And the guy next to you reading it could be reading the same thing, and it could apply to him in a different situation. But that doesn't mean, let's be clear to your listeners, that doesn't mean that the word is malleable. It means that it is living. That God is almost, it's almost as like He's speaking and jumping off the pages and touching each one of us. The meaning is the same. The meaning is the meaning. It is the Word of God, but it has an uncanny ability to be alive and to apply to us individually. And it's really beyond the ability, I think, of human beings to articulate it fully.
Exactly. Well, we're talking the true Jesus, uncovering the divinity of Christ in the Gospels. David Limbaugh is our guest. More from David right after this. Stay with us, America.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in. Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Send your emails direct, NSA free, to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour right now, our conversation with David Limbaugh about his new book, The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. David is a lawyer, nationally syndicated columnist with the Creator Syndicate political commentator and author of 7 New York Times bestsellers, including The Emmaus Code and the number 1 bestseller, Crimes Against Liberty. David, in your book, True Jesus, you said you wanted the Gospels to speak for themselves. I guess maybe from your legal background, you have 4 distinct witnesses, and in many cases, the stories are very similar.
You're talking about the 4 separate Gospels?
Yes, the 4 separate Gospels,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. And my friend Frank Turek, for example, an apologist who's written books on apologetics, always makes the point. And J. Warner Wallace, who is a homicide detective, is now an apologist, makes the point that if all these gospel accounts were in perfect harmony and there weren't any differences, then you might be suspicious that the gospel writers had gotten together to make their perfect little nice, neat, conspiratorial message. The truth is we have authenticity that rings through them because we see them from 4 different perspectives and 4 different emphases and different audiences that they had in mind. Matthew, for example, writes mostly to a Jewish audience, and he invokes the Old Testament a lot because it's important for him to show how Christ fulfills the Old Testament covenants, the Old Testament prophecies and the types and foreshadowings, because he wants the Jews to understand that he's speaking to. He wants to help convert them. He wants them to understand that the New Testament, Christ is just a consummation of their religion,
exactly.
Not a distortion. It was all one story, as Greg Kuchel writes in his book. It's all the story of God from the beginning to end, and Jesus is the consummation. So he wants to show them that continuity, but unfortunately many of them are expecting a different type of Messiah, and that's another issue. But John, for example, focuses more on the theological aspects, and the other two focus on Jesus' humanity and his suffering servanthood, for example. So fascinating, 4 different perspectives, complementary, but not exactly the same.
And what people need to discern here, and what you've kind of suggested in your statement, is that people sometimes confuse religion with relationship. And many are surprised when they hear that Jesus was against religion. That's what he went head-to-head against. In much to a degree, what we face today in the 21st century America, not to mention that antithetical viewpoint that wants to saber-rattle a bit against the Word of God and against Christianity, this war on our faith.
Yes. Well, he was certainly against legalism and Pharisaic external righteousness instead of internal displays of righteousness. And they were more concerned about obeying the rules, supposedly, and their traditions than they were the spirit of the law and the actual law itself. They put their traditions ahead of the law, and Jesus corrected them, such as healing on the Sabbath. Man is the Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath, and Jesus is Lord over the Sabbath. But that was blasphemous for them. The Pharisees went after him for healing, and he said, well, David went into the temple and ate some of the priest's bread when he was running from Saul. And he did that to survive. And, of course, that he shouldn't have obeyed some strict traditional interpretation of the Sabbath and starved himself. It's just absurd, putting rule over reason, mm-hmm. insanity. So, yes, the Pharisees were caught up in their own displays of righteousness. And, by the way, in some of the gospel sections that I talk about, there's a recurring theme, and as we talk about it, Scripture being integrated and unified and repeated themes all around, mm-hmm. God doesn't want us to be conspicuous in our displays of righteousness for the purpose of impressing our fellow man. He wants us to be internally faithful and righteous, so only he can see. As somebody in the secular culture has said, that integrity has to do with how you behave when no one else is looking. You don't go into deliver a prayer publicly so people will say, wow, that was the most articulate prayer I've ever heard. You don't tell people that you tithe or that you give more than a tithe because you want credit and fame for man or acclaim for man instead of acclaim, because that's the only reward you'll get. And there's repeated themes analogous to that. And so when you start reading the Gospels, these things reinforce what the law that's already written in our heart, the moral code that we already know intrinsically. But there's a commonality to it, and the more you read it, the more you begin to understand how what is right and what is wrong and what is proper behavior and what is Christ-like behavior.
Exactly.
So it's an extremely valuable enterprise.
Well, that's what happens. You know, the Bible says the word will go out and find its mate. And so when you read the word of God, it is that inscription in your heart, your very soul, your inner being that comes in connection with the word of God that says, welcome home. You know, this is right. This is, you know, this is that aha moment that is so significant that causes you to leap tall buildings at a single bound and to do what in and of yourself is humanly impossible, right?
Yes, and well said. And have you ever thought, this might be another weird analogy, but when you really get into the Bible, and I remember reading these Old Testament passages which say the word, like in Psalms or whatever, the word is your delight, and it is so pleasing to learn about and to read God's word. You almost think of it like some food that you just want to consume. There's a hunger for it. Once you find the hunger for the word of God, you're excited about it. You want to just consume it. And I don't know if that makes sense, because it's not a good analogy, because food is digested. Yeah, you digest the word, but it stays with you.
Right.
And so that's where the analogy fails.
Well, it ties in with what Jesus said, that it wasn't by bread alone that man lives, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And for Jesus to say that, I mean, you know, throughout your book, David, you're demonstrating the model that Jesus gave us. And if you have eyes to see it and ears to understand, I mean, this isn't Jesus speaking in a proverb anymore. You know, when he said he came to kind of confuse people. You know, he wanted to only make sure those people who could understand, right? But today it's plain for us. Does that make sense?
Some people say, well, why would he be selective? Well, I don't think Jesus would deliberately harden someone's hearts, but he might help them along the path. If they are outright disobedient and just reject him, well, he might say, okay, you're not going to, you've rejected me, that's fine. But he still offers forgiveness. But in the parables, he was basically talking, trying to communicate with his own disciples and explaining to them. And part of the practical reason he did that is Jesus was on God's appointed time. And he didn't want to subject himself to crucifixion before he finished his ministry. It was important that he complete his ministry in full, I mean, his earthly ministry, before he allowed himself to go to the cross. So sometimes he would slip out between the crowd. I think there's a little supernatural element involved in some of those cases where he kind of disappeared, but that's my own, you know, reading into something. And then he would basically say, he would tell the Samaritan woman at the well, he told her he was the Messiah. Why would he tell her and tell other people to shut up about it? Because nobody up there was going to arrest him. When he went down to Jerusalem, though, he had to be more circumspect. So Jesus was a pragmatist, too. He always told the truth, but he had to do stuff, and he is the truth, capital T. He had to do things in his own time. He would emphasize things where they ought to be emphasized and otherwise not. So it's a fascinating thing, and he was fully human and fully God. We don't want to ever forget that.
Well, and to that point, David, I mean, you addressed this fully human, fully God. I mean, this is something that was addressed early on, you know, back in the early 300s. Again, it came to full argument and discussion.
Yeah.
You know, was Jesus fully God and fully man? And they determined after much discussion, yes, he was all that he said he was.
Yeah, these heresies, the Docetists and the Gnostics who claim to have special knowledge, saying that the material world is all evil and the spiritual world is all good. Jesus couldn't have been in a material body, and he couldn't have been crucified. Do you realize what a blasphemy, heretical blasphemy it is to suggest that Jesus didn't experience bodily suffering in worse extremes than any human being has ever experienced, not to mention the spiritual suffering he endured by being separated from the Father and receiving all of the Father's wrath for mankind's past, present, and future sin.
Well, David Limbaugh, congratulations on the book. It is a true treasure. Really, I mean that sincerely. Appreciate all the work, the commitment to deliver this to us. The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospel. Thank you so much, as always, for being with us.
Really an honor. Thanks so much.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Get that spring flooring project done with incredible deals from Lumber Liquidators. This week, at the best selection of Woodlook waterproof flooring, up to 24% off. All water-resistant Dream Home Ultra X2O laminate is 11 to 13% off. And get 10% off pre-finished engineered hardwood and engineered bamboo. They're great for every environment and every level of your home. More deals from 69 cents plus special financing. Get the perfect floor with deals from Lumber Liquidators today.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
With the America, Bill Martinez here. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information you need to know. And if you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. It is NSA approved. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. You know, once the weather gets warmer, it's not uncommon for people to start spending more money, from yard care to scooping up the hottest summer fashions. It's easy to get carried away, too, and overspend, especially if you just received one of those nice tax refunds. But it's simpler than you think to find the things you love at an affordable price. One way to achieve this is to shop with a plan to get the most value for every dollar, especially heading into the spring shopping season. We're talking about maximizing your money. How about that? Personal finance expert, New York Times best-selling author Nicole Lappin is with us right now. And she's got some great advice for us shoppers as we prepare to tackle spring cleaning, outdoor projects, and gifting for mom, dads, and grads. Now, we talk about BYOW, that is Boss Your Own Wallet Strategy, which outlines 5 musts to conquer the spring shopping season with budget and peace of mind intact. Nicole Lappin, good to have you back with us. Always good to be talking to you on Bill Martinez Live. How are you doing?
Awesome. I missed you.
Hey, I know we got to do this more than once a year. You know that?
Yes, please. Finance is happening all the time. You know, yeah, find me.
Exactly. We're going to track you down, I'm telling you, you know. But I'm not a real dangerous stalker, you know. It's for a good reason, because the information you have to share with our audience, right? Exactly. Right.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're talking.
I'm there for you, Bill. I got your back.
Oh, good girl. And I'm with you too, whatever I can do. All right, let's talk about Boss Your Own Wallet. BYOW, and exactly that concept. What does it mean?
So it's about taking control of your wallet. Sometimes the wallet becomes the boss of you, right? It's the other way around. And I'm just hoping that folks don't let that happen. So I'm not delusional. I know people are going to shop. I'm not the financial expert, as you already know, because we've hung out before, that's going to tell you, you know, don't buy a latte. Don't go shopping. You know, dig in the couch for quarters, you know, whatever. That's not realistic. You're going to shop. You know, like you said, dad, grad, barbecues, lawn stuff, spring fashion, which I know you're very into, Bill. You know, whatever it is, like, I'm not going to judge you. You're going to do it. I just want you to be smarter about it and more empowered to make your hard-earned money. And you work hard for it. Just work better for you.
You know, it's good therapy, I say, you know, to be able to shop and work hard and go out there. But, you know, let's not be silly about it and come back, you know, from the shopping mall experience with a lot of regrettable purchases, right?
Yeah, there's always so much remorse, right? And so I want to get rid of that remorse. It's not good for your wallet. It's not good for your mental state at all. And, you know, I think it's really about planning ahead. You're going to do it. Do not just bury your head in the sand and feel like you're cheating or whatever. If you're planning it out, it's above board. You don't have that buyer's remorse that you rightly note. And you can really take control of your wallet and, again, be the boss of your own wallet, but also really be the boss of your own finances, because that is more empowering than anything else.
Exactly. What you're referring to, Nicole, here is the, you know, let's get the guilt out of the way, right? I mean, because to me, what a drag, you know, after all the hard work you do, you go shopping, and then somehow guilt enters into it, like as if you're not deserving to, you know, treat yourself or spend your money. But this is all about balance and just being wiser about taking control of the things that you can take control of, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about this on the show before. It's coming to your finances from a place of aspiration versus deprivation. And, you know, it's almost ingrained. Time and again, we'll hear sort of this financial speak of, like, doom and gloom and, like, don't buy a latte, don't go shopping, don't do anything. And what ends up happening, though, like, let's just be real. You know, you end up binging on something else later on. And so it's like a regular diet where you allow yourself small indulgences. You don't end up binging later on. So, you know, people ask me all the time about stuff like retirement, investing, of course, but also, you know, how do you stick to a household budget? How do you go shopping? And I tell them to go shopping, but with a little bit of a twist. So I think it's about shopping the right bills, planning ahead, sticking to your budget, making every dollar bring you value back, whether it's, you know, joining loyalty programs and or I think you should do and, by the way, you know, shopping sales on the right time, because not all sales are created equal. You know, if you plan out your buying, you're going to get the most value out of that.
You mentioned the right time, Nicole. When did you find the right time is? I mean, I know that, for example, buying a car, it's toward the end of the month. The salespeople get a lot more aggressive at that time. And also around the events, right?
Yeah, and also buying a car toward the end of the year, they want to get all the inventory off the lot. But that's exactly right. You're smart about that. And, you know, I'm really excited to be keeping up with Sears, because this Friday and Saturday, get excited, there is spring Black Friday events. I love this. This is like for me.
Yes.
Because I didn't have to wait until November for regular Black Friday sale. So this is in-store, online, Sears.com, Sears app, wherever you're shopping. Because, you know, honestly, I'm shopping more from my mobile device than anything else, but I want all of my loyalty points to talk to each other, right? So during this special event, you're going to get a ton of cool discounts. And this is, again, you know, you're looking ahead to Mother's Day, whatever it is. It's a great opportunity to earn points through their loyalty program, the Shop Your Way program. You can use them on later purchases as well. But look, you just want to make sure that you're getting the loyalty points. You're getting the discounts, you know, from Spring Black Friday event. You're just making sure that you're shopping at the times that are going to work best for your wallet.
Exactly. Well, that's a great idea. I mean, so this weekend at Sears, huh? We can have a lot of fun. And I like that you're incorporating loyalty programs, because loyalty programs are very effective in helping us stretch our dollar as well, right?
Yeah, it's a great reminder, you know, not only that all sales are not created equal, but you have to be part of the loyalty program. Hello, Captain Obvious, to enjoy the curve. I'm super proud of, you know, getting sales on top of sales. I just own it, you know. And if you have a favorite retailer that has a free loyalty rewards program, it's a no-brainer, Bill. Why are you not part of that? You know, free rewards programs are really the best way to ensure that you're first in line for exclusives, that you're first in line for savings, which is especially helpful when you're buying those bigger household items. That's stuff you can't skimp on. You need a new dishwasher. You need a new, you know, whatever, refrigerator. Those are important big purchases that you want to make sure that you're getting the best deal for. So programs, like I mentioned, the Sears Shop Your Way program, you get at least 1% back in points value on each purchase, plus the prize points throughout the year, which is awesome because that's like discovering free money in your wallet.
Exactly.
So, yes, sign me up for that.
Exactly. Well, good fun. Well, for the folks that are going to get a tax refund that are fortunate enough to get one this year, what's the smartest way to spend it? What are you recommending?
So I think it's really about planning it out and don't think that, first of all, you're just going to give yourself a whole treat and spend the whole thing willy-nilly. You know, the willy-nilly thing doesn't work out. That's when the buyer's remorse comes in. It's really about, you know, planning what it is that you need. So sit down, have a face-to-face with your budget, look your budget in the eye, and say, okay, here's what I need. You know, again, if you have a specific question, I'd love to answer them. I always try to answer everybody's questions on social media. But if you have, you know, debt or whatever, you know, yeah, you have to prioritize your own situation. But when you're getting that chunk of money back and you need something like I mentioned, or if you're going to buy the Mother's Day present anyway, then it's really about, you know, using your points or losing them. You know, points are a lot like vacation days. You've earned them, so you better use them.
Exactly.
It drives me crazy, though. I don't know if you've ever had friends do this, but they're like, oh, I have 2 weeks of paid vacation time, and I didn't get around to using it.
I know. That's,
what is that?
Yeah, that's no big reward. I know, exactly. Well, it's all about maximizing your finances, and Nicole Lappin is with the star of CW's business competition reality show, Hatched. Nicole, where can listeners go for more information?
Yeah, you can head over to NicoleLappin.com/BYOW for all the information that I mentioned and all the partners that Sears works with. You can go to their website. And yeah, you can find me on social media at Nicole Lappin.
There it is. Nicole, always good. We got to do this more often, okay? So you're always welcome here.
Yes, please.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Nicole Lappin on Bill Martinez Live.
This is a report from Merck and the American Diabetes Association. Last year, Tim McGraw teamed up with Merck and the American Diabetes Association on America's Diabetes Challenge to encourage people with type 2 diabetes to work with their doctor to set and reach their blood sugar goals. He also called on people affected by the disease to share their stories.
It was great to hear from so many of you across the country, and I'm impressed by your dedication to managing your type 2 diabetes or helping a loved one who is. We listened to your experiences and identified common challenges like eating healthy, exercising, sticking to your treatment plan, and coping with your disease. Now, it's our turn to support you. We're offering tips to help you tackle these challenges head on, and we want to see how you're putting them into action. Share a photo, story, or video with us so we can see your progress.
Visit AmericasDiabetesChallenge.com to learn more and participate. Again, that's AmericasDiabetesChallenge.com.
Get that spring flooring project done with incredible deals from Lumber Liquidators. This week, get the best selection of Woodlook waterproof flooring up to 24% off. All water-resistant Dream Home Ultra X2O laminate is 11 to 13% off. And get 10% off pre-finished engineered hardwood and engineered bamboo. They're great for every environment and every level of your home. More deals from 69 cents plus special financing. Get the perfect floor with deals from Lumber Liquidators today.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your
business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-958-9659. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-958-9659. That's 1-800-958-9659. 1-800-958-9659.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Values, faith, they still exist here.
I love you more than the sun, 'cause I don't want to go through the motions. You are everything that I live.
Yes, the music, the best of the best, and he's still going. Matthew West, one of the most popular artists in contemporary Christian music, four-time Grammy nominee, has received a Dove Award, an American Music Award, a Billboard Music Award, was named Billboard's Hot Christian Songwriter of the Year, and from writing hit music to now a book, Hello, My Name Is, Discover Your True Identity. Matthew West, welcome to Bill Martinez Live.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for that introduction. I'm hoping to live up to it during this interview. That's very nice of you.
Matthew, it's who you are. You know, there's no striving. This is the thing that Christians and people who are looking at becoming a Christian need to understand. It's all been done by God. You just you kind of just let it go. And I was saying off the air to you what I appreciate about you. Not only the blessings that God has blessed you with, but your vulnerability and to lay it out there clearly, you are in the throne room of God, as we would say, as some of our prayer warriors would say, because the music that you write is revelatory. I mean, it is just, and it can only come from the throne room of God, if I'm saying that right.
Well, without question. I mean, I think if only I could give people a window inside of you know, the room when I'm writing a song, they would see a few different things. They'd see probably the mental battle that goes on where, you know, in my flesh, I feel a lot like, when God called Moses, you know, to lead the Israelites. How cool would it be if Moses' first response was like, yep, let's do this.
Right.
And instead, he was like, he literally was like, God, pick anyone but me. Or, you know, and he immediately started to think of all the ways that he was, you know, incapable and unqualified. And so a lot of times when I'm writing songs or even when I turn to write this book, there's that mental battle. And I'm sure some of your listeners are probably nodding their head in agreement whenever they're facing a task at hand where they might be tempted to think that, well, who am I to even tackle this? How can I make
exactly.
sure this? How can I write this song? How can I write this book? And, you know, I think that's probably where God loves to see us, you know, to come to that inevitable conclusion that without his help, none of it's going to happen. And so I look at every song and now every book as just proof that God is faithful to use imperfect people to carry out some pretty awesome things that can change the world. And I love to be part of that.
Well, and what people see in Matthew West is they see you, the Matthew West that is today, but the journey, the faith walk that you've gone through, and it starts with that that appointed time that God had with you that said, you're my guy. And
yeah.
And that just had to overwhelm you because here you are. I mean, you've got some gifts. It's evident. But now God says, look, I want you, the gift I've given you, I want you to honor me. And
yeah.
That's pretty humbling, isn't it?
Absolutely. And there's so much of my life can really be summed up in a series of eye-opening moments in my life where I realized that God's plan for me is oftentimes different than my own plan, but every time bigger and better than my own plan, that his dream far exceeds my little minor league dream. And one of the reasons why I say minor league is because, you know, my dream was originally to become a baseball player.
Right.
And so it's so ironic that I'm talking to you today doing an interview, and instead of us talking about my batting average, we're talking about a new book that I wrote. And we're
exactly.
talking about songs that I've written and the chance that I've had to be part of something that has an eternal purpose. And so I smile now and I think, man, here I was, my dream was as little as a glove and a bat. And, you know, it turns out I couldn't hit a curveball. But throughout that experience, you know, God was showing me, hey, I've got something bigger for you. And you have no idea what I'm about to do through your life. And so that's been a common thread throughout my life that I kind of had that humbling moment where I'm like, oh, okay, my little minor league dream is never going to come close to the big dream that God has for me. And if I'll just step out in faith, amazing things will take place. So I'm really humbled by that all the time. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm learning to step onto that path quicker and quicker now, trusting that your way is better than mine.
Well, for you, you experienced what God said beyond what we could think or imagine. I imagine that word, you know, that those series of words from the Word of God, the very sustenance of who we are
yeah.
as men in faith, is so meaningful for you today.
Well, one of the scriptures that really stuck out to me, and I was kind of claiming it literally as I was writing this book and as I write songs too, is where God promises that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. I don't know, for me, when I'm writing a song, I'm really good at beginning, but bringing that song to completion.
Right.
And you know what? Writing this book, I got a hot tip for all your listeners right now. Writing a book is hard.
Yes.
You know, I tell you, I had this dream to, I'm a storyteller at heart, and all of my songs, those songs that you just played, every single song, when I hear them, your listeners might hear the lyrics and the melody, but for me, I hear the story behind them, and I visualize it. And so to be able to now write a book that where I can unpack some of the stories on my heart, the stories of people's lives that I've come in contact with over the years as I travel, it was really neat to see this good work that God has begun come to completion in the form of a book, the chance to unpack those stories on a deeper level. And really the hope in this Hello, My Name Is book is to help people discover their true identity, because we can't live a fulfilling story with our lives until we finally discover who we are, who God says we are, and most importantly, who God is and how great he is and how much he loves us.
And I also liked what you said, which connects all this together, and that is whose you are.
That's exactly right. You know, I think if the average person might look at the title of the book and say, okay, it's called Hello, My Name Is, and then there's a subtitle that says Discover Your True Identity. Well, one might be tempted to actually think, okay, this is then sort of a self-help book. But I don't know about you, but I don't think the world needs another self-help book.
I'm with you.
Those self-help books have one thing in common. They point towards self for the answer. Like, if you look within, you'll find out who you are and all that you're capable of. And, boy, that tickles the ears. That sounds real good. But I'm telling you, just like so much of Scripture and just like everything about the God we serve, man, he's counterculture.
Yes.
He's counterintuitive. And so what I was for ourselves doesn't begin by looking within. It begins looking outside of ourselves to the one who made us, to our creator, which makes sense, right? I mean, who knows more about me than the one who crafted me, the one who sculpted me, the one who made me and knows about it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so much of this book is actually dedicated to discovering more about God, who the Bible says God is, all the different names given to God, right? Hello, my name is Emmanuel. Hello, my name is Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and the list goes on, right?
Exactly.
And then, as we discover more about who he is, guess what? We get to discover and unlock the truth and the promises and the hope and the joy of everything he has to say about us. Most importantly, we are his beloved children of the one true King.
Well, and I like that the conversation in the New Testament between Peter and Jesus, when Jesus said, who do they say I am? And Peter says, you're the Son of God. You're Jesus. You are the Christ. And he says, because you, in a sense, you know, the subtext is, because you told me who I am, let me tell you who you are. Right? And
that's
this
exactly
is in
right.
the midst of Peter thinking, you know, I'm just this mess up. You know, I got a lot of passion. I'm still trying to figure this out. And no sooner does Jesus tell him who he is, than Peter goes back to doing what he is. And then Jesus has to rebuke him and say, hey, get behind me. Because you want to go back into those temporal concepts of who you think I am and who you think you are. That's not where fulfillment is. That's not your true identity. Right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And just like Peter, you know, I relate so much to the character of Peter in Scripture because, you know, he was flawed, as you said. And, you know, you mentioned Jesus asking Peter that question. And then another point in Scripture, I remember Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And and I think that's where so much of it starts is, hey, my child, do you love me? Because if you love me, let me take the name tag that's been put on you and let me rewrite your truest identity. And, you know, that's really the biggest thing that I began to write in this book was just to unpack some of the name tags that we've all accumulated throughout our lives. Now, we all have different stories, but throughout our lives, our name tags can get pretty crowded because we all begin the search trying to find out what makes us special, what makes us different, who am I, and what's my purpose here? And man, throughout our lives, the world does a good job of putting some lies on our name tags. And we're tempted to believe him, just like, you know, Peter was tempted to believe, man, I'm a failure. I'm a screw-up. And so he went back to just become a fisherman, you know. But Jesus said, I'm not done with you. And I believe Jesus says the same thing with us. He says, hey, I don't care how many lies are on your name tag. You don't have to believe those lies anymore. You don't have to believe you're a failure. You're a drug addict. You don't have to believe what your reputation says about you, what your family says about you, what your past says about you. I'm getting ready to change all that. I'm going to ask you, do you love me? And if your answer is yes, then come on, let's go. The best
is yet to
come.
That's it. Hello, my name is Discover Your True Identity. Matthew West has been with you. Matthew, as we hear the theme song from your book as well, it's playing in the background. Thank you so much. God bless.
With detergents. Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVE starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.